our Lord went away, before he went away, he called his own to the upper room, and there he said words something like this: "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." When our Lord ascended the Mount of Olives, the disciples were gazing up into heaven, and two men in white apparel came and said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go." Scoffers scoff, liberals mock, humanists doubt, but Jesus is going to come again. Jesus Christ, God's Son, will come back to this earth just like he went away. He'll come back bodily. He'll come back physically. He'll come back personally. Jesus Christ, the Jesus of Nazareth, the Jesus of Bethlehem, the Jesus who walked this earth for 33 years, will walk this earth again. Oh, we see it on bumper stickers, and we think some nut drives that car. Christ is coming soon. No, it's the nut that thinks it's a nut that's driving that car. Jesus is going to come soon. He said, "I will come again." Now, his coming is divided into three different sections. Jesus came in Bethlehem to his own. He is coming someday soon for his own. 7 years after that, he is coming with his own. Now, he came in Bethlehem to his own. The Bible says in John 1:11-12, he came to his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. He came to his own. Now then, someday, the Bible says, the trumpet of God is going to sound, and the voice of the archangel shall split through the sky, and Jesus will come with a shout. The dead in Christ shall rise from the graves. Those who have been converted and have died shall rise. Our Lord shall come in the sky and hang there in space for a while as the dead in Christ rise from the graves. And then all the Christians who are alive at that time will join the dead in Christ who have been raised and shall be caught up to the air and shall meet the Lord in the air. Now, we will be with him for 7 years, in what is known as the marriage of the Lamb and the judgment seat of Christ. During that 7 year period, while we're in the air, on earth there shall transpire a time we call the tribulation period, a time of awful suffering, a time of unprecedented warfare, a time of unheard of death, a time when the blood shall run in Jerusalem as high as the horses' bridles, a time when hailstones weighing 100 pounds shall fall upon the earth, a time when the waters of the earth will turn to blood to become bitter, and the water supply will be ruined. The time when one person out of every two, now get this, in a 7 year period, one person out of every two shall be killed. We've heard a lot about the influenza epidemic. Memphis, Tennessee alone has 10,000 recorded cases of influenza. And those of us who can remember hearing our parents talk about the influenza epidemic in World War II, when tens of thousands were killed or died because of the influenza epidemic, we have shrunk in horror, thinking that perhaps it may return in our day, maybe even this year. But the Bible says in that time, during that 7 year period, there shall be terrible disease. It speaks about cancer getting worse and worse, and thousands and millions and tens of millions shall die with cancer. It speaks about a time when Russia shall attack little Palestine, along with Germany and the Eastern nations, and along with China and Japan and Egypt and Eastern Germany and Turkey and Ethiopia and Iran. They shall come on little Palestine. And during this 7 year period, a time of famine, a time of war, a time of death, a time of disease, a time of awful pestilence on this earth will transpire. At the end of that 7 year period, then Christ himself shall come back to the earth with his own to establish a kingdom of righteousness for 1,000 years. When Jesus shall rule and reign, we shall help him rule and reign for 1,000 years here on the face of the earth. Now, I feel occasionally, from time to time, I should acquaint you with events that point to the nearness of our Lord's return. Bearing in mind, there are no signs that must precede the rapture when he comes with his own. However, since the tribulation period immediately follows, as we see things that point to the nearness of the tribulation period and the nearness of our Lord's return with his own, we of necessity must realize that his coming for his own is soon. As you approach the city of Hammond, if you're going to Hammond, and I suppose you're going to St. John, out here on Highway 41. And if you're going to St. John, as you see a sign that says Hammond, 40 miles, you know that St. John's about 30 miles away. When you see a sign that says Hammond, 30 miles, you know St. John's about 20 miles away. Now, in the Bible, though there are no signs that precede the rapture, there are signs that tell us, or there are things that are going to happen during the tribulation period. Now, since the tribulation period lasts only 7 years, we must know, as we see a sign that points to the tribulation period, that the rapture must be near, because the rapture comes before the tribulation period comes. So, there are signs that tell us that our Lord... Oh, but you say, Brother Hiles, the Bible says that man cannot know the day nor the hour. I think that's true. But the Bible does not say that man cannot know the area, or the era, or the period of our Lord's return. For example, it likens the return of our Lord to a woman having a baby. A woman having a baby. Who's expecting? Mrs. Bordway? You almost always are. Miss Bordway, when's your baby due? April 5th. Is he going to be born April 5th? You don't know. What time on April 5th? I mean, 10 o'clock in the morning? 10:30? 1 o'clock in the afternoon? You don't know. But it's going to be sometime in the early part of April. Is that right? But you don't know what day. You don't know what hour. But I bind you one thing, it won't be 10 years from now. And if what I've been noticing is true, it may not be 10 minutes from now. now I'm saying this. The Bible says that the coming of our Lord is that way. A woman expecting a baby, she doesn't know when that baby is going to come. She knows about when. She knows it's going to be around 9 months from conception. She knows it'll be a certain period, and usually a doctor can tell you, within a month, and sometimes within 2 weeks, and sometimes in a few days. But no doctor can tell you what day. No doctor can tell you what hour. And when our Lord said, no man knows the date of the hour, he doesn't mean nobody can know the time or the period. Now, the truth is, there are some things that tell us that our Lord's coming is very soon. And I want to remind you of some things that I've given you before, and then perhaps I'll give you a few things that I've not given you before. Some things to keep you up to date and alert you concerning the coming of our Lord. I've told you in time past, without turning to the Scriptures now, we'll use the Scripture in a little while, but I've told you in time past about Zechariah chapter 14, which says that in the end time, during this 7-year period, now again, bear in mind, this will take place within 7 years after the rapture. During this 7-year period, Zechariah chapter 14 says, the Mount of Olives will have an earthquake. There will be a cleavage of the Mount of Olives. And when the Mount of Olives has an earthquake and breaks right in half, right in two, a river will be formed. Actually, two rivers. One going down to the Dead Sea, that's east, and one going west to the Mediterranean Sea. And that river, those rivers, will be caused by an earthquake in the end time, after the rapture, after the Christian is gone. After it's too late for you to get saved. The Bible says the earthquake with Mount of Olives. I've reminded you that scientists tell us and seismologists tell us that that the Mount of Olives inside is a burning inferno. And they say, I don't mean Christian scientists. I do not mean converted scientists. I mean those heathen unconverted scientists are saying that there is a boiling inferno underneath the Mount of Olives, and that it could be a quake on the Mount of Olives any day. In fact, they say when this quake comes, it will actually divide the Mount of Olives right in two. Now, that's what the Lord said 2,500 years ago. Yes, it's time that these scientists caught up with the Word of God. It's time they got intelligent. It's time these PhDs and Rhodes Scholars and Harvard graduates got a little sense. I mean, they say, oh, wait, by the way, that fault that caused the awful earthquake in Turkey not long ago, they tell us that that fault extends right from Turkey right on, right down to the middle of the Mount of Olives. I was watching on television today a famous scientist being interviewed, and he told me and a lot of others, he said, more earthquakes have been registered in the last 25 years than in all the history of the earth put together. My Bible says that there shall be earthquakes in important places. I need not tell you about the earthquakes that we're having in our generation. Now you listen to me. You laugh all you want to laugh. You make fun all you want to make fun. Ah, ha, ha. Oh, fundamentalist is rabble-rousing again. I'm not rabble-rousing. I mean, the Bible says. And now scientists have gotten enough sense to find it out. The Mount of Olives shall cleave in twain. If you're here tonight, you do not know that your name is written in heaven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you come down this aisle tonight and settle this matter and get born of the Spirit of God and prepare to meet your God. I've told you before that Ezekiel 38 and 39 list the lineup for the end time battle. It tells us that on one side shall be fighting shall be Israel. It tells us that England shall fight with Israel, and that the British Empire shall fight with Israel, and the United States shall fight with Israel in the end time battle, and that Russia shall fight against Israel, and that Turkey shall join Russia, and that Eastern Germany shall join Turkey, and that China shall join Eastern Germany, and that Egypt shall join them, and that Iran shall join them, and that Japan will join them, and the kings of the sun rising shall join them. The Bible gives us in Ezekiel 38 and 39 the very lineup of what nation will fight on the side of Israel and what nations will fight on the side against Israel. And you know that every single nation is on the right side tonight. Everyone, God's train is on schedule. God's clock is on time. One of these days, as sure as I'm standing behind this pulpit tonight, one of these days you folks that have turned down Jesus or lived a lie, have been a member of a church but never born again, you've walked without God, you do not know that you're born again, you do not know that your name is written in heaven, as sure as I'm standing behind this pulpit tonight, one of these days you're going to wake up and you're going to find old Hiles is gone. You'll turn your radio on and somebody, the record will play. And so now we'll take you into pastor's study. and now Pastor Hiles, it'll be Thursday morning maybe, or Friday morning, or maybe a Monday morning when I'm on. But all of a sudden there'll be a silence, and you'll say, I wonder where old Hiles is. Where's old Hiles? And they'll play some music, and you'll say, I wonder where he is. And then Mrs. McKinney will run quickly to Brother Colston's office and say, Brother Colston, come quickly and take the broadcast this morning. And he'll do it, and he'll preach on a split rapture. Why the Lord's going to come and take some later on. Now I'm saying, laugh if you want to, make fun if you want to, have your fun, heathen, have your fun, humanist, have your fun, atheist, have your fun, liberal, have your fun. You're not going to have much fun that day. You won't have much fun. All of a sudden, people flying airplanes who are converted are raptured. Airplanes going all over the sky, playing havoc and crashing in every city in America. You'll not have much fun when trains go unmanned, when men who are engineering the trains suddenly are raptured and running down through this area. Trains will run unstopped, and finally they'll run to the Chicago station or jump the track, and people shall be stopped, and cars all over the expressways. Suddenly shall be with unmanned, without drivers. The driver's been taken. Why? Jesus has come. Then you won't laugh. You'll cry for the rocks and mountains to fall on you and hide you from the face of the living God. And you'll wish under God you'd listen to some of us rabble-rousing fundamental preachers who reminded you that Jesus Christ is going to come again. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. And one reason we know it soon is because of the situation on the Mount of Olives and these nations all lined up. I told you, I preached years ago before it ever happened. I preached that someday before Jesus came, Germany would have to be divided. I showed my people in Texas and some of you folks here that I think it was before I came here before that. But anyway, I showed people across this nation how that the day would have to come when there'd be an East Germany and a West Germany, because the Bible prophesies that only East Germany will fight with Russia and West Germany will fight with the Western forces in the end time battle. And so, just as the Mount of Olives, being a boiling inferno, says Jesus is coming soon, and just as the nations align properly for the end time battle, say that Jesus is coming soon, even so, the fact that Germany has been divided was but a picture of the soon coming of our Lord. I've reminded you in the past that the European common market is a sign of the coming of our Lord. Did you know the Bible speaks about a 10-kingdom union in Europe of the revived Roman Empire that will rise up in the last days and fight against Russia? Did you know that the European common market, the nations, those 9 or 10 nations now of the common market, did you know that their boundaries almost exactly coincide with the boundaries of the old Roman Empire? Did you know when our Lord said the Roman Empire shall be revived and shall fight against communism and against Russia? Our Lord pointed to the time when the Roman Empire and its boundaries would be revived. Tonight, you and I live in that generation. We live in the generation when the Roman Empire has been revived. And as far as I'm concerned, the common market and it's the nations that are in the common market are simply telling all of us Jesus is going to come real, real soon. I've reminded you that the oil shortage was prophesied in the Bible. I reminded you that the Arabs fighting against Israel is prophesied in the Bible. I told you how that back yonder in the book of Genesis, God gave to Abraham a boy whose name was Ishmael, and God gave to Abraham a boy whose name was Isaac. And those boys have been fighting each other. In fact, the Bible says that Ishmael, the son of Hagar, the Egyptian bondwoman, by the way, who was an Arab, that Hagar, her son was an Arab, Hagar, the little boy Ishmael, was born fighting or hating Jacob when he was Isaac when he was born, and they fought each other. And because God had promised, listen, because God had promised that the seed of Abraham would inherit the promised land forever, Ishmael's seed says, it's mine. I'm the firstborn of Abraham. Isaac's seed says, no, it's ours, because we're the son of promise. And so Isaac has a right to the promised land because he's God's promised son. But Ishmael has a right because he's Abraham's first son. And so tonight, you have two nations and one land. And my Bible says that in the end time, these nations shall fight a war over this one land. We're living tonight. We're living tonight in the time when that's being fulfilled. But I wish I had all the time I want tonight. I'll not take it. But I want to give you very quickly tonight some things that we're seeing in our day. For example, did you know that something strange is happening in the East? I've read some articles. You have too. People are sort of bewildered and baffled about something going on in the Middle East. You know what it is? One of the leading rivers, the river that was near where Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, I think, the Euphrates River. You know what's happening to it? Articles have been written in the newspapers. The Euphrates River is drying up. In our generation, it's actually drying up. Large sections of the Euphrates River are drying up. And I was reading this in a motel not long ago, and some fellow said, the smartest people, scientists in the world, don't know why. Poor fools. I know why. I'll read you why if you'll just listen. Don't use your Bible because of time, but I'll read you why if you'll just listen. Talking about the end time in the 7-year period. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up. There it is. Hey, scientists! A little fundamental preaching straighten you out if you listen to it. Hey, Harvard graduates and Rhodes Scholars and PhDs, that means post-hole digger. Hey, all you folks that think you're so smart and think fun and this is done, you finally found out, oh, what in the world is causing the Euphrates River to dry up? I'll tell you what's causing it. Jesus is going to come real soon. That's what's causing it. Now, why? It says the waters of the great river Euphrates were dried up that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now, why is the Euphrates River going to be dried up in the end time? Because China is going to fight against Israel in the end time battle. She's going to fight against America and the Western Confederacy. And since she is, she's going to have a way to get across that great Euphrates River. So God is going to dry up Euphrates River. Hey, God said it years ago. Preachers have been preaching it ever since it was said. But of all the people who've ever lived on the face of the earth, are you listening? We are living in the day when this prophecy is being fulfilled. Jesus is coming soon. If you've got any sense at all, you'll come to Christ and get born again and prepare for the coming of our Lord. That isn't all. Did you know that China is now constructing a highway, a super highway, in six nations? Would you like to know where that highway leads? China is constructing tonight a super highway from the mainland of China to the Middle East. Folks don't know why. I know why. I read an article not long ago. Said that people around the world are wondering, what in the world does China want to build a highway across those six nations from China to the Middle East? I know why. Because God prophesied that China is going to fight against Israel in the end time, and she's going to use that highway for the transportation of her soldiers. Congratulations, folks. I believe you're going to be alive when Jesus comes. Congratulations, folks. I think there are people in this room who will not die. I think there are folks in this room who will be alive, who will hear the trump of God, and who will hear the shout and the voice of the archangel, and shall rise up to meet our Lord Jesus in the air, and never die. Oh, joy, oh, delight, shall we go without dying? Ah, wouldn't that be a wonderful, wonderful thing? Well, we live in that generation, I think. I'm convinced. Recently, on the Phil Donahue Show, pardon the use of the name, on the Phil Donahue Show, a talking image appeared. A talking image appeared. And folks were amazed. A talking image? Oh, isn't that something?
Well, I knew that years ago.
First time I ever read Revelation 13, I knew that. The Bible says in this 7-year period, right after our Lord calls us up to meet Him in the air, the Bible says that there are going to be two big rulers, a political ruler and a religious ruler. The political ruler, known as the Antichrist, is going to come and set himself up as the Savior of the world. The religious ruler is going to come, and the Bible says he will build an image and He will give that image power to speak. You're living in that age. You're living in that age. Listen, when I first began preaching 30 years ago, I'd read this, and boy, I couldn't picture what it'd be like. But now with the computers, good night, and I'll say a few words about that after a while, with the modern computers, now it is possible for us to actually build mechanical men, mechanical minds. And on a nationwide television show, an image, a man-made image, could speak, appeared. Are you listening? Sit up in your seat. Listen to this. In Belgium, tonight, there is being built a 3-story computer at the headquarters of the Common Market. That 3-story computer will assign each citizen in the world a number for buying and selling.
You will soon, sooner than you think, you'll have a number. And that number will be for buying and selling. You said, "Brother Hiles, what are you talking about?" Okay, I'll show you what God said about that 2,000 years ago. Listen to this. Talking about this 7-year period now. It says, and that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. 2,000 years ago, our Lord said that in the end time, that men, each man, would have a number. And that man could not buy or sell unless he had that number. Do you know that it is predicted that by the end of this year, it may be possible that 80% of the American people will no longer write checks? The paper check is almost outdated. I'll say a few words about that after a while. What I'm saying is this. I'm saying that the look, the computer system has made it possible for fulfillment of this. And by the way, every time you see a computer, jump up and down, kick your heels and say, "Glory to God, Jesus Christ is going to come real soon." There is not one thing in this world that so points to the soonness of our Lord's return as the computer system does. Not one. Now, also, the newspapers say, and pick up your newspapers and read them. You'll read this. It will take, get this now, each person will have three 6-digital units. Like, for example, 923641. That's 6-digital. Okay, here. I'll show you. I have an American Express credit card. And that American Express credit card of mine has three digital units. 040-394-524. That's my card number. Now then, the Bible, the newspapers say, and businessmen say, and financiers say, that it'll take three sets of 6-digital units. Like 594623. That's one set of 6. Dash. So space. 675891. That's another set of 6. And then next. 932764. That's a third set. Or, as far as digits are concerned, 666. Anybody know enough Bible to know the last verse in Revelation 13 says that the mark of the beast is 666? Would you like to know this? Would you like to know what they're calling that giant computer, 3 stories high in Belgium, that'll have your name and your number registered, and you have 6 numbers, 6 numbers, or 666. You like what they're calling that thing? They call it the beast. The beast. Hey, if you're not saved, you better start doing some checking real quick like. If you plan to get anything done for God, you better do it. If you plan to get your loved one saved, you better do it. If you plan to get a bus route built, you better do it. If you plan to build a Sunday school class, you better do it. You better get busy. Listen, you better get right with God. If you plan to confess any sin or forsake any sin, you better do it. Look up! Your redemption draweth nigh, says the Word of God. Isn't that interesting? Congratulations. People have all these years have tried to figure what that 666 stood for. And now then, by the way, do you know where that number will be? You won't have a credit card. No. There'll be a laser beam. There'll be, they say, by the way, the Belgian people, I mean the international common market folks say this, they'll put a laser beam like unseen to the human eye, naked eye, number on your forehead. 6 numbers, space, 6 numbers. And they say they'll also do the same thing on your hand. May I read for you what the Bible says about that? Listen to this. And he had power to give life to the image of the beast. That the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand. These world bankers do not realize they are absolutely fulfilling Bible prophecy. 666 in the right hand. That's what they say they're going to do. Notice now. And are in their foreheads. That means God said that in the end time, there'd be a system where nobody could buy or sell unless he had a number, and that number would be 666, and that 666 number would be on his forehead or in his right hand or both. That is exactly what's taking place in your day and in mine. Now, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to completely transpire after the rapture. As you see these things coming, you better just get ready, brother. Jesus Christ is going to come pretty soon. You just better get your bags packed. You're going to see that husband that's in heaven sooner than you think you are. Get your bags packed. You're going to see that little baby sooner than you think you will. Jesus Christ is going to come very soon. Call the beast. You've been to, haven't you? You've been to a amusement park? Don't they do that in Disney World and Disneyland? They stamp your hand, don't they? And then they let your hand go under what? Some kind of infrared? What? Ultraviolet. And then that number is seen. And that's the way that we're going to be shopping before very long. Go up to a department store now. Try to pay cash and see what they say. In many cases, they seem insulted. They don't want your cash. What am I saying? I'm saying this three-story computer, a sign of our Lord's return. The number for each person for buying and selling, a sign of our Lord's return. The 3 6-digital units, 666, a sign of our Lord's return. That no man can buy or sell without this number, a sign of our Lord's return. That one, by the way, one man will have at his fingertips, get this now, one man will have at his fingertips the number of every man on the face of the earth. And you can check the credit rating of any man on the face of the earth in 7 seconds. 7 seconds in this giant computer that is now being built in Belgium. Members of the Western Independent Bankers Association were told in San Francisco recently that a $30 million computer is being built in St. Louis, Missouri. And that it's the same type computer, and that a mark on the hand will be the way that men will buy or sell. One common market leader, I didn't say Baptist preacher, common market leader said, was asked, what would you do if a person objected to the system and refused to cooperate? And the answer was, we would use force to make him conform. Force. Now, that's what one of the common market leaders said. Why? Because the Bible says that in the end time, in the last days, during the tribulation period, that no man can buy or sell unless he has the mark on his hand or on his forehead. That's happening in your generation. Some of you young folks, you wait till you're playing that dirty rock music and the trumpet sound. Our Lord comes back. You wait till you're dressed like the heathen dress. Pair of shorts or a mixed bathing outfit, a pair of pants, and our Lord comes back. You won't have time to go home and change. Boy, I tell you, when Brother Hiles comes by, you're sure to try to run, don't you? Wait till you're smoking a cigarette and our Lord returns. Wait till you got a bottle of beer in your hand, or you didn't have enough intestinal fortitude to say no out where you work, and you got a martini in your hand, and the trumpet sounds, and Jesus comes. You'll wish you'd listened to what Brother Hiles said. You wait. You wait. And you said, you preachers been saying that for years and years and years. It can't be soon. You're one of the signs. The Bible says in the end time, people will say what you just said. trumpet sounds. Jesus comes. You say, hold it, Jesus. I got to figure out whether this couple on As the World Turns is going to get married or not. Backslider. Get rid of your dirty magazines. Jesus is going to come. Clean out your icebox. Jesus is going to come. Clean up your vocabulary. Jesus is going to come. Clean your mind up. Jesus is coming. Clean up your records. Jesus is coming. Your library. Jesus is going to come. And every sign points to the soonness of his coming. Henry Spack, formerly a member of the European Common Market and General Secretary of NATO, said, get this now, send us a man who can hold the allegiance of all the people, and whether he be God or devil, we will receive him. Now, that's the head of NATO. Send us a man who can hold the allegiance of all the people, and whether he be God or devil, we will receive him. He didn't know it, but he's talking about the Antichrist, isn't he? Such a man's going to come. He will be the devil incarnate. And the world will be in such a mess, politically, economically, as far as the food's concerned, socially, morally. This great leader shall rise up and shall conquer the world, and people of all nations shall follow him because he would seem to be the only hope. Texas Bankers Association has endorsed a system of paperless checks using computers to credit and debit your accounts. It has been predicted by the end of 1976, this year, 80% of our nation will be involved in such a program. Now listen to me. Here's what you'll do. You'll go down to the bank and make your deposit. You deposit your paycheck. You won't write checks. They will automatically take out your house payment and your car payment and your taxes at the bank. Automatically pay those debts for you. And anything else that you buy, you'll not have a credit card and you'll not write a check. You'll simply walk through past the cash register and they'll show this light on your head with the six and the six and the six digits. And shine the light on this hand. And they will deduct money from your account without checks. A system is already going on in Cleveland, Ohio. There is now in Cleveland, Ohio, this checkless, paperless check system going on. Now, I'm saying it's all a part of the end time era. Our Lord's going to come back pretty soon. Pretty soon. What are you going to do about it? Ah, you wait. You wait till one Sunday morning. You'll come to Sunday school. Or come to church here on Sunday night. You'll walk in. You'll notice not many cars out there. What's happened? Are we early? Has it been the time change? Have we gone to daylight saving time? What's happened? You'll come in about 5 to 7 or 10 to 15 to 7. And you'll notice Brother Hiles is not up here at question and answer time. And just a handful of folks are here. Maybe a few members in the choir. I hope none, but maybe a few. Maybe a few folks here. I wish none, but maybe a few. 7 o'clock. You'll look for the choir to come in. Maybe nobody walks in. You look for the door to open. Nobody walks through. You finally get these little folks together in a little huddle down here at the front. And you said, you'll talk, this is Sunday, isn't it? And are they having service in the Civic Center or some special place? What's happened? And somebody will say, don't you remember? Brother Howard used to tell us about this. As sure as I'm standing behind this pulpit, what I'm talking about is going to take place. You'll be calling. You'll call my house. No answer. You'll call the pastor's houses. No answer. You'll get your Bible down. All of a sudden, you'll be seeing all these things transpire. You'll notice clouds of war in the headlines. You would have been through. You go outside and you'll notice that there are cars wrecked on the highways. You'll notice that airplanes have crashed in the fields, in our airports. You notice that the trains have crashed, and buses have crashed. And can you imagine the awful, awful traffic jam on the expressways? And thousands of cars are suddenly without their drivers, running in the telephone poles, running stoplights. Driverless cars, and they're stacked up all in the streets. And you'll say, I remember, I heard old Hiles on Sunday night talk about that. You wait. Can you see the newspaper the next morning? Can you see it? Millions missing! Millions missing! Can you see the radio television time? Can you see these humanist nationwide commentators? And brother, I doubt if a one will be off the air. Can you see them saying something has happened? And I believe with all my heart they'll get Bibles down. And they'll start reading Bibles. And the Bible says the earth shall quake. Stars shall fall from heaven as untimely figs fall from a fig tree. Men shall cry for the mountains and rocks to fall on them. Hide them from the face of the living God. Mountains shall be made valleys, and valleys mountains. Houses destroyed. Water supply gone. Cancer running wild. The blood of the horses' bridles. Death! 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 Weeping! Screaming! Crying! For mercy! Begging! Cancer! And then God's going to open up the pits of hell. And little demons shall come out of hell. Unidentified foreign objects. And brother, if I believe in UFOs, I believe God is sending us, if I believe in them, if they're anything, I think these little unidentified, these UFOs, unidentified foreign objects, I believe every once in a while God just opens up the pit of hell and says, let one of them fly up there and scare those folks to death. And there comes an object through the sky. Intelligent people say they've seen it. College teachers say they see it. Policemen say they see it. You wait till the demons out of hell come. And these little demons come, and the Bible says they'll have the bite of a serpent in their tails. Destruction. Death. Bloodshed. Disease! Famine! They'll be studying the Bible again at Harvard University. Amen. Brother, I just can't wait. I just can't wait till some of these little demons out of hell with these snake tails get after those professors that taught me in college. I'm going to sit up there and laugh from heaven in the air. See those buzzards that taught me this book wasn't so and tried to shake my faith in this book. I can't wait! One of those old demons starts chasing that atheist and infidel. Oh, but you said, Brother Hiles, I'm rather cultured and refined. You're all so stupid and you're an idiot. But you say, Brother Hiles, scientific facts do not point what you said. You don't even know the Bible. I sat on a plane not long ago with a fellow, and I said, what profession are you in? He said, I'm a professor at Bucknell University. And I said, you've been born again. And he said, I don't believe the Bible. I said, how many times have you read it? Well, he said, I've looked at part of it. How many times have you read it? Well, I'm not all of it ever. How many times have you read Genesis? Well, I don't think I've ever read Genesis. How many times have you read the book of Hezekiah? It's not even in the Bible. He said just a part of that one. I said, how about the book of Jerusalem? He said, that's my favorite book. Long, shaggy hair. Had on for deodorant, perspiration number 6. And I said, you claim to be a scholar. I said, there's not one thing scholarly about not believing something you haven't investigated. And I said, until you read this book and study it, and read it, study it, you won't have any right to say it's not true. Truth is the beginning of knowledge, and the beginning of wisdom is the knowledge of this book and the fear of the God who wrote it. I told the other day on the airplane, he is a professor, and he was a professor of atomic something. And he said, I said, well, I tell you what, I said, I'm a college founder myself, and we have a college. And he said, what does your college teach? And I said, the Bible.
Amen.
And he started to chuckle. And he said, this may come as a great surprise to you, but he said, we sort of look down on you scholastically. And I said, this may come as a great surprise to you, but we look down on you scholastically too. He said, we have scholars that have PhDs. I said, we have scholars that know Jesus, been born again.
Amen.
Poor fool. You wait till one of these scorpions chase that little rascal. When they get loose on those rascals. And those imps out of hell will enroll in Harvard and be the best looking students they have. You say you're not very refined. I've got more refinement in my big toe than you Bible-rejecting, Christ-rejecting, hell-deserving, heathen, humanist sinners have. You better get right with God or you're going to hell. That's what's going to happen to you. You say, your screaming offends me. Yeah, and your hell-raising offends me, too. Used to sound down in Texas. He's been an old Pentecostal preacher. Got his tongue tangled up one night, and he said, God's called me to heal the dead, cast out the sick, and raise the devils. Preachers do more devil raising on Sunday morning, their deacons do less devil raising on Saturday night. Laugh at us. Go ahead. Out here in Maryville, there's a paper. And some poor, ignorant guy wrote an article about us. Some folks came by and tried to get him converted. And then he proceeded to write an article. He said, here's how the hierarchy out there is making money. They said, they send these bus workers out to get these little bus kids. And then they get the bus kids by tricking them. And then the bus kids go back and get their moms and dads and bring them. And it's a money-making deal. I'm glad to find out about that. Yeah, I'm glad to find out about that. And then he said toward the end, said, praise the Lord and pass the collection plate. Making money on the buses. Whew. Boy. If brains were water, he wouldn't have enough to flush an eye out. Let them make fun, brother. Let them make fun. Noah! Noah, you're a fool. What you doing? Building a building program. What you building, Noah? Building a boat. What does a boat do? Floats on water. What's water? It's what comes when it rains. What's rain? I don't know.
it's going to rain. Cover the whole earth with rain. Noah, been working that thing 10 years. I know I got 110 more left. Noah, seen any sprinkling? No. What's that boat going to do? Float on water. Where's the water coming from, Noah? It's coming from rain. Has it ever rained? Nope. How do you know it's going to rain? Because God said it's going to rain. That's how I know it's going to rain. Noah, you finished? Yep. Coming up a cloud, too. Hear that thunder? See that lightning? Started to rain then. Noah, you're in a minority. Not but 8 of you fundamentalists here. Millions of people don't believe what you're doing. How does it feel to be in a minority? Just hang around, fella. Just a few days, I'll be in the majority. You hang around. You hang around. In just a few days, we'll be in a majority. And 7 years after we're gone, we're coming back. Now, if you want to call me, I'll be busier then than I am now. You might try my office here because I'm going to pastor this church for 1,000 years or a millennium. And you might call the college because I'll be out there some. Or you might call the city hall because I'll be mayor of the town then. Or you might call the Hoosier Bank because I'm going to run that thing then. You know why I'm going to take Hoosier Bank over millennium? Because I've got to collect all we owe. And we'll run it. We'll run it. Oh, during millennium, we're going to have all those little demons out of hell harnessed. We'll have those in cages. You say, well, the house, will it hurt anybody? Just depends on if you behave or not. You heathen. I mean, if you decide to criticize us, put an article in the Maryville paper, we'll let one out and let them sting you for a few 100 years. I got a dozen of them reserved for the Tribune alone. Say, who's going to be mayor of Chicago? I'm going to do that moonlight. Now, you reason for a minute. If our Lord's going to give people political offices for 1,000 years, just reason. Who you reckon will run Chicago? Huh? Well, then you'll be in charge of the bus system. Brother, we'll make it so anybody has less than 113 on a bus will go to jail. Won't need any headlights. Why? Because Jesus will be the light, the Bible says. But you say, now, wait a minute. He's going to way over there. Way over there. In Jerusalem. How's he going to light up this part here? That's easy. Because Jesus said, we're the light of the world too. He said, I'm the light of the world. Didn't he say in Daniel 12:3, they that turn men into righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever? Everybody that's born again has Christ in him, the hope of glory. Every one of us be little Jesus, and everywhere we go, we'll just carry light with us all the time. So we won't have to have any headlights. We'll just get a couple of born-again folks to get out on the running board. Huh? Huh? We're going to have the time of our lives. So what are you going to do with all these PhDs? Well, there won't be many of them. Most of them be in hell. You say, you're glad about that? No, I'm not glad about it. I'm glad they won't be in charge anymore. I've got to quit one of these hours. But you mark it down. One fellow said not long ago to me, he said, every time you say you got a brief message, or going to preach a brief message, I bring a lunch. Or a midnight snack. Say what you do. Go out here to Purdue Extension. Purdue Extension.
and get the faculty and students and give them all IQ tests and give the same thing to Howells Anderson College, and you'll find out who the nuts are. Jesus is coming.
Amen.
Jesus is coming. And every sign I know says it may be tomorrow morning. The trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. Saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called a thunder. I'll be there.
Amen.
Will you? Anything you ought to do before he comes? Any plans you ought to make before he comes? Any decisions you ought to make before he comes? Any sins you ought to forsake before he comes? Any tithes you ought to pay up before he comes? Any classes you ought to teach before he comes? Any buses you ought to run before he comes? Any deeds you ought to perform before he comes? He's coming soon. You'll see. You'll see.